the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And really going to preach on the thought of what are we to do in these last days. I want to ask you to stand to your feet if you would. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to return. Amen. I believe it's imminent. I believe it's any day. I believe he's fixing to leave heaven and come and get us. And so we find that in Hebrews chapter 1, and I ask the question, now I've got a lot of text verses I'm going to read. We're going to read this, pray, and I'll let you sit down. We'll go read some more. But in Hebrews chapter 1, look in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these what? What's your Bible say? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, thank God for that, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the singing this morning. I pray that it's honored and glorified you. I'm glad we can have blessed assurance in our heart and in our life to know that we're saved and have a story. And that to tell folk that is real and that is true. Thank you for being our friend today to ever be so real in our life. I thank you for that. Would you help the preaching hour now? Lord, we certainly need you. We need you to come by and stir in hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll do today what I cannot do and what nobody else in this building can do. But I pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit to move among folk and just squeeze on our heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the one that's lost to come and get saved. And Lord, help the one that has a need to find that help in you today. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for these mothers today. Pray we'd honor them right. We'll tell you again that, Lord, we love you and pray that we'll honor you right today. For all this in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, we find as the writer starts and as he talks about the past, basically in the Old Testament, he said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And we understand that. We understand when God dealt with the old time patriarchs that he would deal in that with prophets. We understand that. We know that. But you look in verse 2, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sent his Son that me and you might be saved. Amen. Ain't you glad today that the Lord Jesus made that way at Calvary so that we could be saved? I'm glad that he come preaching repentance. I'm glad that he come preaching when he said in Matthew 11, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And boy, God, listen, it's by his Son that he speaks to you. This whole book right here is just him wrapped up in word form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is in this book right here. And it even talks about who he is and what he is. He is the brightness of his glory. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and express image of his person. What was it? One of the disciples asked him over there and said, Lord, we would see the Father. And he said, have I been so long with you that you've not seen him? He said, for if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm glad to tell you that I've seen him high and lifted up at Calvary paying and dying for my sins. Amen. I've not only seen him there, but I've seen him, friend, as my friend and as my keeper. keeper and the lover of my soul. Thank God for that today. Friend, I'm glad of that. But I want you to look with me right here. What he said, hath in these last days. If it was the last days in the writer of the book of Hebrews, imagine how much closer we are now. I believe we're living in the end of the last days. Take your Bible and go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Now, I've got a lot of reading I need to do real quick, and then I'm going to preach. Daniel chapter 12, very last chapter, and he's telling some things about the end times. Daniel chapter 12, and look in verse 4. Daniel 12, you find the book of Ezekiel, go over one more. And if you find the book of Hosea, back up one. Daniel chapter 12, look in verse 4. He's talking about the end time. He said, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 17. Now remember what I read you there, and I'll come back to it. Luke chapter 17. And look in verse 26. Luke 17 and verse 26. Bible says in this passage, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now I told you I had a lot to read. Just stay with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to get some Bible study in. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Still here a few pages. Look in verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Got two more to go right here, and we'll preach. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and this will be the last one to read. 2 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 3. Talking about the end times. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his own suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I read all these verses this morning for one reason, and that was to show us, if I could use this word, the signs or the type or the signs of the times of the last days. If you look at the book of Hebrews, he said that we are living in these last days. Said he spoke to us, hath in these last days spoken unto us. We go all the way back and we look in the book of Daniel, and he talks about how the end time, he said how seal it up, but he said at the end time, Daniel, how men are going to run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Now I know some people will spiritualize that verse and they'll talk about running to and fro in the book of Daniel, knowledge will be increased in the book of Daniel. I understand all that, but I'm going to tell you, I read that verse and I take it literally, how that, friend, at the end times, how that men are going to run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Do you realize that we run to and fro as a people? Amen. Hey, listen, we can go around the world. You can get on a plane right now and run around. Do you even know how many airplanes are in the sky right now? I mean, we're just not a settled people, are we? I mean, we're going everywhere, doing everything that we can as a people. I notice it talks about in the book of Daniel that knowledge would be increased. I believe, hey, listen, in the past 150 years, we've got more knowledge than we've ever had up on the face of the earth. I mean, we're burning light bulbs. You drove here in a car. We take all that stuff for granted. We went to the next set of verses in what do you see? As it was in Noah and Lot's days. What were they doing? They were living life. And at one point the Bible talks about, when it talks about Noah's days, it talks about that they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Let me say today, friend, that there is a world out here that's living life. They're eating and drinking. Brother Ralph preached on that in revival. They're just living life, having a grand old time. I never being concerned about the end, never being concerned about Jesus coming, and they're just living life, but they don't know until it comes and takes them away. Listen, let me say today, church, that there's a lot of folks. Ain't this exciting today? Amen. Hey, he's coming. Are you ready? And that to meet Jesus you need to be. They were living life to the fullest. I'm going to tell you something. I seen something the other day. Some woman preacher said, you ought to love life. Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose your life. Amen. But he that loseth his life for my sake, I shall gain it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, it's not about this life. It's about the next one. Amen. It's about what we can do for him in this life while we're here. But you go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, those that depart from the faith, those that teach and believe false doctrine, they are being guided by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In other words, what's being taught by the devil. Listen to me now this morning. That's what the word doctrine means, that which is taught. That's why you can have sound doctrine, false doctrine, that which is taught. He said, you're following and that after the devil. Do we not have all kinds of false doctrine out there today? I mean, you can get into heaven any way you want to if you listen and live any way you want to. But I'm going to tell you, friend, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And then he talks about broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go therein. And hey, I'm telling you today, there's a lot of folk falling after seducing spirits and doctrines of devils to make themselves feel better and that about their life. He said they speak lies in hypocrisy. They act as though the Holy Spirit, I give that to them. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He was in the service one time. I don't know where he was or why he was in this meeting. But he said, as a woman got up and said, I know God's called me. He said, I know what the Bible says, but I know God's called me to preach. That's a lie. Say amen right there. Somebody ought to shout it up, jumped up and shouted a little while. I'm going to tell you, if you know what the Bible says, then you know that ain't right. And that's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. Amen. So we've got all kinds of doctrines out there today. blame a lot of things on the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wasn't nowhere around. But he talks about that their conscience is seared with a hot iron. No matter what God says, their conscience is seared. You know what that word sear means? Y'all know what it means if you've cooked any type of meat at all. You know, you sear meat, you're making it hard on the outside. It's impenetrable. You see, the Word of God can't get in. The Word of God can't work. The Word of God can't affect them. Their conscience is seared, and they're going to do what they want to do and live any way they want to live. When we look at the whole list that 2 Timothy give us over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I'm telling you all this for a reason, because if you can't see that this stuff is going on now, you're blind or you're deceived. You either just don't want to believe it, and I'm going to deal with that here in a minute, about not wanting to believe that we're living in the last days. But looking, if we go back to 2 Timothy 3, he said, no, that this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. It's dangerous. It's far more dangerous now. I mean, Brother Jeremiah was talking about it the other day. I can remember when we could get on a bicycle as a kid and ride as far as we could. And my mom and dad didn't have to worry about a thing. As a matter of fact, if we got into trouble, somebody would help us. Amen. But you can't turn your children loose today. Why? Somebody's liable to get them. I mean, it's just dangerous, ain't it? I mean, it's just a dangerous time. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in a big city for nothing. And it's been that way for a long time. It's just got worse and worse. And it's coming here to our little town, you know. He says it'll be dangerous times. For men shall now, no, notice what he said. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Folk just love their selves. Now, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's what I want to do. What I want to do to make myself feel good. What I want to do to please myself. It's all about me. He said they're covetous. If I want it, I'll get it. If I want it, I'll have it. That's the reason our nation is in the shape and it's upside down right now, is because men and women, I think so much of themselves that if they want it, they'll go get it, they'll take it, they'll steal it, they'll go in credit, they'll go in debt up over their eyeballs, and then they wonder what happened. Folk don't know how to love the Lord, do they? He said, you know, if you're going to love God, you know, he said, you're going to have to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and hate yourself. Does that mean I got to hate them? That means you love them less. You love God the most. I love my mama, and I think God wants me to love my mama. But he don't want me to put her in front of him. He said they're covetousness. He said they're boasters and proud. And I'm not going to explain all these because we're going to get bogged down if we ain't careful. But he said their blasphemies have nothing to do with God. They're disobedient to parents. You know, he said, I'm going to deal with this verse here in a little bit. He said that to honor thy father and thy mother. You know what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2? He said, Ephesians 5 and verse 2. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that thy days may be long upon the earth. You know, when Moses told the children of Israel, is that the fourth commandment over there in Exodus chapter 20? Listen, that was a promise. You want to live long. Let me put it to you like this. You want to cut your life short, then don't honor your mother and your father. I wish I'd learned that earlier in life, to honor mom and daddy. I really do. I wish I'd learned that a whole lot earlier than what I did. But notice he said they're without natural affection. You know, they're unholy. Go back to they're unthankful. They're unholy in verse 2. But we're living in one of the most unthankful and unholy shit. Nobody wants to live right. Nobody wants to have anything to do with God. But he said without natural affection. Got one of the biggest arguments going on now. They're afraid that Roe versus Wade's going to get overturned, ain't they? You know, to kill your baby, that is without natural affection. Don't care how you look at it. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word incontinent is talking about they will not restrain themselves. They have no self-control. Well, we're living our day, ain't we? Folk ain't got no self-control. Fierce despisers of those that are good. I preached on that before. Folk will just hate you for being good. Don't have to have any other reason. You want to do right, want to do good, folk will hate you. Traitors, heady. You know, that's a rush. Being heady is a rush, and the violence or a temper, if you let me say that, folk are hot-headed and they don't know how to cool off. High-minded lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. One of the problems we have on Sunday mornings and Sundays in general is churches have to compete with the world because of all the pleasures that are out there. Brother Ralph, as he was preaching, he got to talking about blue laws back in the day. I like the idea of blue laws. You know, nothing was open on Sunday. If you wanted to do anything, you went to church. Kind of like the idea of blue laws. Well, where are we going to go eat? Home? Amen. Get her up, Ray. You say, don't you? I do go out to eat on Sundays. I'm just saying, we'd be far better off. Amen. He talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such. Turn away. Lord, you help us now. You come on to 2 Peter, and he talks about the end time. And he says that what in the last days, when he's talking about the second coming of the Lord, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? He said he was going to come. Why ain't he come? Why ain't he come? Why ain't he? I had a fella ask me that one time. He always called me Reverend. I never did like that, but he'd say, Reverend? He'd say, I've heard all my life that Jesus is coming. I said, yeah, you're still going to hear it, and he's still coming. Amen. I mean, listen, the same old message is still being preached today that it was when I was a kid. It's still being preached today that when some of y'all in here, they're far older than me, still the same old message, amen. It's the same old story, and you know what? It's still the truth, amen. He was coming then, he's coming now. If 1,000 years is one day with the Lord and one day is with 1,000 years, he's, you know what? We think that it's taking a long time, but with him, it's just minutes, you know. It's just ticking away. I want to look at just a few things. Can I ask you something? Would you agree that we're living in the last days? Would you agree that after what I've just showed you right here, would you agree? So what are we supposed to be doing in these last days? I thought about that as this past week. I thought about, what am I supposed to be doing in these last days? Number one, first of all, let me say, don't be surprised when these things come to pass. Don't be surprised that men are running to and fro and knowledge is increased. Don't be surprised that folk are departing from the faith. Don't be surprised that nobody out here really cares and that they're not really listening to the preaching. Don't be surprised when they depart from the faith. Don't be surprised when men are heady and high-minded. Don't be surprised when all this, you know what the Lord told them over there in Luke chapter 21. He said this, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Hey, listen, this day is not on us unaware. We know that it's here, but don't be surprised at it. A lot of people, they look around. You know what the word surprise means? It means to come on or to fall upon suddenly. We don't know what a surprise birthday party is. To be taken unaware. I mean, we've all probably been surprise birthday party. The lady that's getting the birthday party, the child, they don't know that's going to happen until everybody shows up. They bring them in, the lights are dark or whatever, open the door, and surprise. But you know what? For the child of God, we're not supposed to be surprised, are we? What was it that I believe that he said? What was it? I'm trying to think about that scripture that the Apostle Paul gave us. Is it in the book? Let me see if I can find it. I know I read that early this morning. Is it in the book of 1 Thessalonians? Let me see if I can go back and find it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because they should know. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. You, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Listen, there's no reason for us to look around and be surprised at what's going on. We say, boy, things are getting worse and worse all the time. Never thought that it would get this bad, preacher. I never thought it would get, just read your Bible. I mean, it told us it was going to get bad. It told us that we were going to get it. Listen, I've been preaching since 19. I'm about to tell my age here, Brother Marvin. 1990. I started preaching in 1990. I believe it was 1990. I have to go back and look. But I believe it was 1990. Somewhere around March of 90, I started preaching. And I was even preaching this back then. You know why? That's what's in the book. That's what's in the book. 90, 2000, 2010, we're at 2020. I mean, 32 years, coming up. Well, it has been 32 years. I mean, it's still the same old thing. But we look at this and we're kind of surprised at what's going on. Why is it the children of God are a little surprised at that situation? You look back in Luke chapter 21 that I read it a few minutes ago. He said, and take heed to yourselves. Listen, at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. You know, if we're too involved with this world, then seeing that this time is coming will take us by surprise. That word surfeiting means excessive eating or drinking. Talking about gluttony. Or filling to the excess. Feeding to the excess. I mean, if we're so involved with this world and love the things. And listen, I understand. I really do. I get it. I know some of you are raising a family, starting a family. Got a whole life out there in front of you. But let me say this, friend, that I know that heaven is far better than here. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day to get there because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he's talking about the end time in Matthew 24, and talking about the tribulation period, but he said this, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it or not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Has he not told us before to be looking for these days to come? Don't be surprised that they're on top of us. Don't be surprised and amazed. I know, listen, I stand back and I guess over the years I've got cynical and all the, and nothing hardly ever surprises you anymore. Don't surprise me. He's talking about my first cousin's girl. I guess I'd make her my second cousin. When they're talking about her the other night, and she's just a young lady, just got married less than a year ago, and I got to talking about how she sees the world through rose-colored glasses, you know. I wish I could see the world through rose-colored glasses. See, it is always happy and cheerful and chipper, but, you know, you live long enough, you can turn a little cynical toward things if you ain't careful. But you know what? With the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of you, you know, you go over there, he talks about the joy that he left us. You know, we know these things are coming. We know that, yes, it's going to get bad. And I don't know how bad it'll get before he comes and gets the church. I don't know. But I do know this, that we shouldn't be surprised at what's taking place around. You know, we shouldn't be surprised that war's taking place over in the Ukraine. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 24? That there will always be wars and rumors of wars. That's always going to take place. I mean, it's just no. Did I say don't feel bad? Did I say don't feel sad? I didn't say none of those things. I'm just saying those things should not surprise us. Don't allow yourself to be deceived either. You know, and being surprised sometimes we want to let ourselves be deceived, because if you really believe that it was the last days, we're going to have to do something. See, if you're lost in here this morning and you really believe that it's the last time and that Jesus is imminent of coming and his return is soon to be here, then you're going to have to do something about yourself. I mean, ain't that true? You say, well, I just read to you in the Bible, I gave you every sign or a bunch of, and I use that word sign loosely, all these adjectives or whatever you want to call them to tell us that he's coming, to tell us that we're living in the last days. And you know what that word last means? That means we're at the end. I mean, something's about to happen, friend. Don't let yourself to be deceived into thinking that this ain't it. I know a lot of people, and some church people even, that want to stick their head in the sand and say, well, preacher, it's always been bad. And they want to go on and live their life like everything's okay and everything's all right and it's going to be okay and we'll just be happy and chipper. Now, I'm glad the joy of the Lord reigns in our heart and it's real this morning. I'm glad of that. Amen. That even in the midst of adverse times, you can have joy and I can too. John 16, somewhere in John 14, he talks about the joy that he has left us. But a lot of people, they want to let themselves be deceived. Or, you know, Matthew chapter 22 says that they made light of it. Well, that old preacher, you know. That old Sunday school teacher, you know. That old timer, he's all time, she's all time talking about the end that it's coming. And boy, we need to be ready. We need to get ready. Yeah, you need to get ready. Because he's coming. You know, I think about the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I understand the doctrinal aspect of that. It's talking about Israel. I know that. I understand that. But when he talks about that there, I remember that you had 5 that had their lamps full and their wicks trimmed and all those things. And you had 5 foolish virgins that didn't have their oil filled. And they said, give us some. And he said, no. I said, what happens if he comes? We don't have enough. So they went out to buy what they needed. And while they went out, he came, the bridegroom did, and went in and shut the door. They weren't ready soon enough, were they? Don't let yourself be deceived that you have plenty of time. The book of Luke put it this way. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And said unto them, occupy till I come. We need to be about his business. He's coming. Jesus is coming. You and I need to be ready. Don't be surprised and don't be sad. I think a lot of Christians get sad when you start talking about the second coming of the Lord. When you start talking about him coming to get the church. You know, the Bible said in Luke chapter 21, I know that he's talking to Israel, but boy, we can look at it this way too. He said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I see everything. I see what Daniel talked about. I see what was talked about in the days of Noah and of Lot. I see what was talked about in 1 and 2 Timothy. I see what was talked about over there in the book of 2 Peter that men scoff and they don't think that he's going to come. I see all these things. And he says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But if you're rooted down here, if your life is involved in this world and in this earth, then you know what you're going to be like? You're going to be like Lot's wife. You remember in Genesis chapter 19 as they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah over there and those angels had to come in and take Lot by the hand and his wife by the hand and he had to drag them out of town with his 2 daughters and the rest of their family is still down there and would not leave because Lot had lost his testimony. Take your Bible and go over there and look. Genesis chapter 19. Is it Genesis 19? I believe that's where we need to be at. Am I making sense to y'all this morning? Okay. All right. Genesis 19. Look in verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Why is that? Go back to verse 1. And there came 2 angels of Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. There it was. Lot sat among everybody else. Lot said, you know, the gate is where the wise men gathered. The gate is where all the rulers gathered at. And here sits Lot among all of them. And he's joining in. And the Bible said, was it in the book of Peter that he talks about how that Lot vexed the conversation, or Lot vexed his righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked. He lived just like they did. I don't know if he was doing the sin they were doing. I don't think so, because he says, brethren, do not so wickedly, in verse 7. But he called them brethren. My pastor would say, make you want to throw up right there. These old wicked men, vile men. I'm talking about vile. I'm talking about evil and wicked for the sins that they were committing. And he says, don't do so wickedly, but he calls them brethren. So they begin to leave. They do get out of town. His daughters and sons-in-laws wouldn't go. He seemed as one that mocked his sons-in-laws. They wouldn't go. So here they go. The angels has got them on the way out, and they tell Lot, said, don't look back. But on the way out, Miss Lot turns around and looks back at Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says she's turned to a pillar of salt. Now you go over to Luke chapter 17, Jesus said this, said, remember Lot's wife. You know, I often wonder why she turned around. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on that over the years and say, man, everything that she loved was down there in Sodom. She was attached to that place and loved that place, and probably did. Her gardening clubs, her flowering clubs. I mean, the Bible said that Sodom was just like the Garden of Eden. And so it was a beautiful place, a wonderful place, by the way it looked. And then as I was studying, as I looked at all this, Zachary, I thought about not only what she loved was down there, but you know, her children were down there. Her daughters were still down there. And no doubt they could hear all this stuff coming, and no doubt, and I don't know if she turned around because it was the place that she loved, or she turned around for the people that she loved. I have no idea why she turned around. But she turned around. And she looked at it. The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. You know, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know why the Lord said don't look back, but he said don't look back. And maybe it's because they're afraid that they'd run back if they look back. I'm going to preach on some things tonight. But, one of the hardest things I ever done is quit smoking cigarettes. That was a habit I loved. I mean, I really liked that habit, Brother Mark. And I finally told the Lord one day, I said, look, if you don't help me with this, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be able to quit. Now, when you realize that you got a problem and you realize you can't do nothing with it, then you're going to need some help. And I realized that thing was bigger than I was. Now, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Some of you are getting excited already, but I'm going to preach against your sin. Just stay with me. Well, I was watching the other night, I like to watch them old history shows. You know, that used to come on back in the early 2000s, maybe the late 90s, that the History Channel put on, and one of them was the history of tobacco. And I thought, boy, this will be a good show to watch. I mean, I worked in it, growed up in it, we dealt with it and all that. I thought, boy, this will be good. And as I got ready to watch that, I thought, you know what? I'm setting myself up. I'm setting myself up for failure right here. As a hard a time as I had to do this stuff, why would I, to stop this, why would I even look back at that thing? I'm going to deal with some of that tonight, setting yourself up for failure. So, boy, that'll be a good message. Amen. Sometimes we do that. You know, if we look back, it's good to remember where we come from, but boy, when we start looking back, I'm afraid we just might get headed that way if we're not careful. But we shouldn't be sad that he's coming. The child of God ought to be cheerful and joyful. You know, John's seen everything that was going to take place in the book of the Revelation and got over there to the end, and he said, even so come Lord Jesus. He was ready to go. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What should we be doing in these last days? Well, we shouldn't be surprised and we shouldn't be sad, but we ought to be serving. What did I read you a few minutes ago? He called his 10 servants, delivered 10 pounds, and said, occupy till I come. Would you agree that there is a difference between biblical and cultural Christianity? I think every one of us would have to agree that. Culture has a way of defining what Christianity is, but the Bible has another way of defining what Christianity is. We have a lot of culturally correct Christians, but very few biblically correct Christianity. You know, when I got saved, it made a difference in my life. But then I had to start to learn about what it meant to be a Christian. A lot of people think they get saved, and you are different. Therefore, if you may be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. We understand that. But then you got to grow in Christ and learn things about Christ and learn what it means to be a Christian. Cultural Christianity will tell you that it's okay to dress like the world, look like the world, smell like the world. But biblical Christianity says, no, that ain't the way it is. What I have in my heart makes me talk different, act different, dress different, look different, raise my family different, run my home different, pastor this church different. Right? That's biblical Christianity. It'll make it line up with this book right here. Boy, this is exciting, ain't it? Amen. I'm telling you, when you got saved, it should have made a difference in you. If there wasn't a difference made, something's wrong with what you got. There's somebody comes and lives on the inside of me. I'm not going to tell you that I feel him every day. I'm not going to tell you that, man, it don't get bad some days. I'm not going to tell you that I don't fight and that I swing. I mean, man, I just got to keep swinging, you know. I'm not going to tell you that them days ain't there. But I'm telling you right now, I know what I asked him to do. I believe this book. I'm trusting him. And I know a difference was made. That's why he said, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. We ought to be serving. Or to live like a Christian. Or to live. Or to be warning and telling others. You know, some have compassion. The book of Jude said, making a difference. And others have, saved with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Colossians 1, Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He said, whom we preach, warning every man. Or to be, he said, I'm telling everybody. If I come in contact with them, I'm telling them. Or to be discipling others. Telling others, but then discipling others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can go over and read about that. How that we're to teach faithful men who can teach others also. We need to be faithful in all that he's called us to do. Need to be faithful to church. Need to be faithful just to be a Christian. Need to be faithful. You know, I like what Brother Ralph talked about that day. Just being a good mom and a good daddy. You ought to just be faithful to be those things. And we got a problem today with faithfulness. Psalms chapter 12 said, help Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Number four, and last of all, I'm going to close. Maybe what you need to do is be saved today. You know what to do in these last days? Don't be sad. Don't be surprised. You need to be serving, but maybe you need to be saved. Maybe that's what you need to do. I mean, time's running out. I mean, whether you think Jesus... Let me put it to you like this, church. Whether you think Jesus is coming, I know death's going to get every one of us. Every one of us has went and stood at the funeral home. We've all went through the receiving line. It can get us. You can be used to. I used to avoid... I don't know what it is. It's not morbid, I don't think. But I remember my mom and dad... When we get the newspaper growing up, first thing they'd do is turn to page 2 and look at the obituaries. They want to know who died. I always thought that was morbid, Brother Marvin, for a little while. And you know, you start getting my age, I look at the obituaries now. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. But I look at the obituaries. You know what I find in the obituaries? That there is people that's younger than me that are dying. They're younger than me. And I'm still a young man. I'm going to tell myself that all the way up to the end. Amen. Sister Sue, she always said, that even when she was about 79, 80 years old, I'd go see her. And she said, preacher, I don't think I'm old.
She said, I mean, she's almost 80 years old. And she said, I still think like I did when I was 18. I said, yes, ma'am. I still think that way too. I still think my mind's just as sharp as it ever was. But I do know one thing, that time's catching up with all of us. You know, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So whether you think we're living in the last days or not, death, it's coming. It's coming. And let me tell you, no matter how good you are, you ain't good enough to be saved on your own. Isaiah 64:6 said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we're all as an unclean thing. Romans 3 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What was it? Ephesians 2, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ain't nobody going to stand before the judgment seat or the great white throne either and be able to boast what they've done in their self. You need to come to the Lord. I quote this at the beginning of the message when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm going to tell you today, if you ain't never been saved, I know the Lord Jesus wants to save you. And we come over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, one of the last verses I read in text scripture. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count saying, what promise was that he was talking about? He was talking about his second coming. Now, he said, well, preacher, I've heard it all my life. Why hadn't he come yet? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why the Lord ain't come yet? Because he's waiting on folk to get saved. I really believe that. I really believe he is waiting on folk to repent of their sin and wants all that will come to come and get saved. And you can do that. What do you need to do? Don't be sad. Don't be surprised. But be serving. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Let's bow our heads across the house.